This is me. I thought we were going to take a full minute break. It's quick for people. This is tape recorded and played on other stations, and it's hard for them to turn it the minute. Maybe we'll put another card in for that extra 30 seconds, okay? Not now. I'll just use the airtime and explain to people locally so that they'll know, and the other people will be turning their tape over. And at that time, will be a minute. And also, when I get on the tape, okay, now you tape people should have the second half. This is Mae Brussel. This is the second half of the broadcast, broadcast number 560. The third article in Wall Street Journal, which is very interesting, banker Frank Nugent in final days faced a charge of fraud. And it has to do with a scandal of him and his brother, and it's a detailed article. Again, I will outline it for you in the financial problems. His wife took a trip to the United States and took $1 million in traveler's checks. I mean, these are really, you know, funny. Again, high society. These are very rich people traveling around with that kind of money. Mr. Nugent would fly all over the world to different countries. He was to Florida, the Caymans, Switzerland, and he traveled all around the world the last couple of years before the bank collapsed. With all this huge amount of capital that is unexplained and he can't be located, is floating around somewhere. Now, I have reason to believe that a lot of this capital could be going into the televised church programs that you see on Sunday and every day, those special religious clubs and organizations, because there's an overlay of cities that I'm going to mention with you, and the project of Gerald Ford and, again, Pat Boone and John Connolly and Clement Stone from Chicago. At one point, I did this on the air several years ago, was to turn the whole world Christian. Now, that would take a lot of money. It's a millions of Bibles and a lot of airtime, huge publicity for these people, and just buying the time. There's no real advertising. And the people sending in the pennies can't keep this up week after week. And I wonder if the promotion of the TV church, if this isn't being funded to the religious organizations, taken out of the pockets of people who put their money into the banks, like you can put your money, work in Saudi Arabia, put your money in Nugent and think you're going to get high interest. The bank collapses, and it may be going to those radio preachers on Sunday or that you see during the day, because there are direct links of these people to the radio churches and TV churches. And this is a new phenomenon. It's an expensive phenomenon. And, you know, it covers a lot of time we're talking about, and it could be that a lot, great share of this missing billion. See, those 10 dummy fronts in the Vatican that they sent down to Panama, $1.4 billion, he may not think that it's wrong to mess a little money with a little Gambino or Genovesis if it goes to God. So you get in a little dope money, and besides, you work with organized crime syndicate. But what if that money is going, say, to sell dope to pay for TV, and you parlay, besides guns, you're parlaying your radio, television, church by the use of melding the money with a crime syndicate and floating it around and then paying off these preachers. Incidentally, this one article tells, the first story tells, and the third one about Mr. Nugent. He was very religious, and he carried a Bible with him. And when he was dead, he had a lot of markings in the Bible, and the Wall Street Journal has this in there. And they referred to it as a mystical thing that he had on his mind, but it may be a very practical fact of life. They said he went to church daily, and he scrawled mystical notes in his Bible. Now, if a person is really religious, and you can contradict me if I'm wrong, you wouldn't be shipping stuff that people are shooting in their veins to become junkies all over the world. And you wouldn't be shipping this stuff to make them zonked out of their heads where they are going crazy and killing each other and killing members of their family or killing people for just money for a hit the next day or some drugs the next day or walking the streets or filling the jails and prisons. If you were really a religious person and you went to church every day, would you really be trafficking this kind of heroin and cocaine in the stomach of dead corpses from Southeast Asia that you can use their bodies to bring the dope into this country? But anyway, Mr. Frank Nugent carried a Bible with him, and the Wall Street Journal said he had mysterious notes in them. And here's a sample. I placed the day of my life, my work, my loved one in the Lord's hand. I believe it will be a glorious, magical, miraculous day. He says, he is with me now. Jesus walks with me now. Visualize 100,000 customers worldwide. Prayerize, actualize. Now, if you can take that money, $55 million to $1 billion, and cling out the bank, and one man's dead and the other's disappeared, and if it went to these places, he's talking about an audience which they get, 100,000 is nothing on the TV screen. Visualize and actualize, and he's going off to the bank with his money and his Bible, and of course he was murdered with their attorney, William Colby's name, and a lot of other information on him. Now, the San Francisco Examiner had an article Thursday, August 28th, Unraveling a Tangled Web of High Finance. Can you imagine? I think this is the first article that the San Francisco Examiner, I haven't seen it in the LA Times, I haven't seen it yet, hardly the New York Times, Washington Post, hardly touched the Nugent. I've been telling you people about this for 2 years and the implications of this, and wait till you hear more. Besides Daniel Boone and Mr. Ludwig, it's even bigger. I mean, it's so disgusting. But now the major media, why do they have to cover it? Because this one party article in the Wall Street Journal said that the parliament in Sydney, Australia is investigating this. They've been investigating for 2 years. The United States government has stonewalled it totally. And the reason I know they stonewalled it is part of the gun-running narcotics traffic, medical experimentation in Jonestown was directly linked to these tentacles, not only the Panama banks, but to the use of the land to bring the Mayo tribesmen from Laos that drew the poppy over there. They were to be brought by Billy Graham over to Jonestown. Mr. Burnham was to bring them over there to live after the Jonestown people were removed. But this article goes in the Wall Street Journal, the August 26th, tells how the investigation in the administration in the parliament in Australia finally is going underway. And this is what is bringing out. This is why the Associated Press, the wire services, even a little bit of TV has to start talking about this matter, because the parliament is going into it. They know the government was destabilized by the Central Intelligence Agency that they've been running Australia. And of course, important is that they were funding the murder of Salvador Allende, the murder of Orlando Letelier, the quartering of people by Michael Townley right in Chile at Colonia Dignidad. Those of you that know my programs are familiar with these names, but the exciting thing is that the establishment media, I do take the establishment media, but they pass it off. But now with the missing millions and with all the murders happening on the eve of these investigations, it forces it into a different game, because you don't know who will be killed next. And I'm sure many people are dying that are related to this, but we don't know their role yet. They have some finger in the till, and if I have time, I'll go into one of those in a minute. Now, the San Francisco Examiner had one item that the Wall Street Journal hasn't had yet. So it's very valuable to read all these papers, as I usually do. It said other disclosures. Now it goes into the CIA and William Colby, who was working with the Nugent Bank. And other disclosures link Michael Hand and Bernie Houghton, that's the bank's Saudi Arabian representative taking the money of the people working in Saudi Arabia, with a secret U.S. intelligence group identified as Task Force 157. And George Bush was direct head of that when he was in the CIA also. Investigators claim in June that Edwin P. Wilson, a former CIA agent arrested in London in New York this year, would be able to supply information about international arms deals involving the bank. He would be able. You better believe he would be able. That they're just hoping. He doesn't say any more than what he said up to this day. He wants some immunity. But this article mentions that Task Force 157. Also, see, Bernie Houghton worked in Saudi Arabia with the Nugent Bank, and it was Saudi Arabia that sent $22 billion to the Italian government that Mr. Licio Gelli put down in Argentina with his Argentine Nazis down there that Italy never saw. So Saudi Arabia diverted this money directly to Argentina, and Mr. Pinochet is in power in Chile, and all the dictators down there are enjoying the goodies, because out of the Nugent Bank, when it was formed, when the Vietnam War was going full swing, this bank was formed and became a washing money not only for drugs and not only for assassinations, but for destabilizing countries all over the world. Now, I got word from a particular person, I can't mention who, and I don't do this often on the air, who told me that these same people that I'm talking about on the air now have recently been sending $23 million down to Borneo. And when they have what you would call elections, or they'll say they're socialists in power, $23 million worth of weapons and fountain pens and so forth have been sent down to Borneo. So that will be the next crisis after the Falklands solved and the Middle East is solved and we get ready for that bloodbath in Central America. Watch for Borneo to break out. And then the Wilson, Turpel, Korkula, Task Force 157, Nugan Hand, Colby remnants, the generals and admirals will be involved down there. Now, one solution, I was talking to somebody about this this week, is that when men leave the CIA, like Richard Helms or William Colby, or these admirals I'm talking about here that work for the super spy systems, when these men leave the CIA or the Pentagon, they should no double dip. Just take your retirement like any other person, whether you're a bank teller or whatever you do, whatever your Social Security, quit it and get off, because they know where the bodies are buried and they have control in Washington of whatever they want. And it keeps the corruption going. And eventually the American government, the American taxpayers, have to stand by these banks that collapse. And the scandal just compounds the problem of the millions missing, the assassinations, the bankruptcy of the corporations and the banks has to be halted. And one way would be to get these officials out of the double dipping when they're in that kind of operation. Lyndon Johnson said, it was 3 months before he died exactly, he described something. He said, we were, this is in quotes, reprinted in the New York Times in June 1982, but it's an old quotation of his. He said, we were running a damn murder incorporated in the Caribbean. It was a plot that remains an enduring stain, this writer said in the New York Times, on our national conscience. Well, I don't think our national conscience has any problem dealing with this. The article is written by Floyd Abrams, and he's pointing out how important it is to clear up your conscience, and that even though we had a murder incorporated in the Caribbean with the CIA working with organized crime trying to kill Castro, this writer says, well, we would never allow anything like that today. I'd like to pin him against the wall and ask him what in the heck he thinks is going on if it isn't going on today. Speaking of deaths related, before I get on to one other subject for a few minutes or several if we have time, there was another death this last week. Mr. Philip Haymeyer, H-E-H-M-E-Y-E-R, described in the New York Times as president, he's chairman of the New York Cotton Exchange. There are 450 members of the Cotton Exchange. They cover cotton, orange juice, and propane gas. This is the commodities in New York City. He was 37 years old. There was no suicide note. There was a gun underneath his leg. He was supposed to be married next week, September the 4th. The New York police said it was an apparent suicide victim. You know how many apparent suicides there are and apparent heart attacks. The police said he evidently killed himself. It was apparent suicide. Then in the biography, it tells how he was going to be married and found with his gun under his leg. He lived on 62nd Street. And then it says that after he graduated from Memphis, Tennessee in high school, he went in the service in the Marines. He was in the Army and then in Vietnam, rather. Then he became a reporter in Memphis and had restaurants in the Virgin Islands and then worked for a cotton company. And then all of a sudden, he's in New York and he's chairman of the New York Cotton Exchange. I would look for the restaurants in the Virgin Islands for the connections here. I don't know that much about it. But you know our running series of the missing millionaires, that Erskine Carter, who was thrown out that window in New York City, who had a big hunk of almost controlling proxy in the global resources. We talked about that. They haven't even begun to find the person who killed the former chairman and founder with his brother of Lockheed Corporation in Pennsylvania. Roberta Calvi murder is wide open. I want to mention that some more in a minute. The Jocelyn Cadbury, the multimillionaire, the member of parliament, one of the Queen's best friends who was found shot. This is all in the last 4 weeks, okay? Peter Richmond, the textile tycoon, who was found floating off of Long Island August the 1st. Alfred Bloomingdale, who did have a cancer, but died very quickly after he was sued and the scandal broke out with his mistress, Vicki Morgan. And again, her money was cut off and the checks came from down in Florida to her. The New York Times begins the article on the Nguyen Bank saying, with the murder of Frank Nguyen, this opened up that. And I think many of you can see that there is a pattern here. Maybe I didn't know many of you when I was studying the murder of the rock musicians, and some of you have followed the musicians and politicians, but say Frank Nguyen just bought a $2-3 million home. His wife is wealthy. He has everything going for him. He's dead. That opens up the global resources. The man with all these proxy tickets has a certain opinion of what the control should be of that corporation. He's dead. The proxies go to his opponent. The Charter Oil and Robert Vesco's in the news, and the scandals of Edwin Wilson and Frank Turple, and of course this links to Billy Carter and many other people, Gaddafi. The minute that operation of Vesco and those people in the news, and Vesco tied to global resources, four officials of Charter Oil, the plane blown up over in Ireland. Cadbury, when the story of homosexuality in the castle. The Queen's head servant or bodyguard for 6 years, members of the yacht, the ships, and large scandals. I think today a friend called the London Sun said 1/3 of all the servants in Buckingham Castle, the palace, there are homosexuals. But there was a big spy story that's been held up. If it was a Russian spy, you'd hear about a long time ago, but it's more, I'll bet, a right-wing spy. And the various scandals, a visitor to the Queen and Roberta Calvi hung. As soon as that's going on, Jocelyn Cadbury of the Schweppes drinks and the candy people is dead. And, of course, and then there's Mr. Phil Haymeyer, chairman of the New York Cotton Exchange this last week. Just when scandals are breaking around these people, when there's a controversial decision to be made, when a hearing is to take place, can you see the pattern now? I'm just talking about the month of August, July and August. And I think if you didn't know me before, if you're new listeners, there's new people coming along, you can see there's a certain pattern here. As I said, the rock musicians, Mama Cass was just signing a new contract, a bigger concert. John Lennon was coming out with a new album. Janis Joplin had Pearl. They were all, Jim Croce was heading the Tops, going to the top. They were all on the eve of success. There wasn't any reason, Otis Redding, there wasn't any reason for 30 or 40 of them to die, okay? But bring it back to the multinationals now, because we're talking about the big banks and the big bucks. And when Watergate came, there were a whole series of murders right after that. I wrote an article about the 30. In fact, I keep promising to put it on the air, and I will soon. But the Wall Street Journal outdid themselves the last 2 weeks, and I want to spend a few minutes on two more articles, and then each of these I'm going to go back to at some time, but I don't want you to miss them, because many of you go to the library. In fact, somebody went to the Carmel Library to get the Wall Street Journal this week, the first part of this series, and there was a note by the librarian, the front page was torn out. Wasn't that cute? 2 years they waited to do a story on the Nguyen Bank, and the librarian noticed that it was ripped off. That's pretty nice, but no, just a coincidence. Okay, August the 11th, important bank article on the Vatican Bank in the Wall Street Journal. Marcinkus, Paul Marcinkus, is the bodyguard and the treasurer of the Bank of the Vatican. They have their own bank, separate of the Bank of Italy. And Italy said this week, incidentally, it was in the New York Times, they've got to put all their money in Italian banks, no more secret offshore funds, no secrecies. The Vatican has to use banks like anybody else. That they were told that by the Italian government this week for the first time since they got their $89 million from Mussolini to allow the fascists to continue rolling along into power. Wall Street Journal, the first one I mentioned is Marcinkus, the head of the Vatican Bank, says he didn't know of a counterfeiting scheme. This is written by Paul Bluestein. Archbishop Paul Marcinkus said he never knew of this $1 billion security scheme, even though he was wiretapped. People were wiretapped talking about this, and I did mention that a book will come out more on this subject. But this article goes further because they interviewed Marcinkus and asked him about this. And the Vatican was supposed to get $14.5 million from bogus securities. Now, if you're Catholic or not Catholic, I think you can agree it's time to stop counterfeiting documents, taking this kind of money, investing it with the organized crime. I'm not anti anything, but I'm anti this kind of operation. And I think everyone, whether it's the Israeli mafia goon squad that I talked about last week, or whether it's the Vatican Bank, this is a serious problem. And of course, it's affecting 250 of the banks around the world right now, this terrible scandal. But this article says that Marcinkus was offered $150 million as a payoff. They would start counterfeiting $14.5 million, and Marcinkus would get this extra money. Now, what would he do with it? This $150 million kickback. What he could do with it would be to make sure that he becomes a cardinal if the scandal hadn't come along. He could have wined and dined certain people. He set up the road after Michael Sindona collapsed and went to jail for Mr. Roberto Calvi to make investments for the bank. He sets up the trips for the Pope. He has these beautiful airplanes that land and the wonderful robes and the television, the news media coverage, glorifying the church and arranging these things. He has a lot of cash, but it isn't the kind that we want to see used because the institutions are collapsing under it. The Wall Street Journal has an article on Marcinkus. This is August the 11th. And then they have another one that is very, very important. And this one is about Roberto Calvi. It's written by his son, Carlo Calvi. It said the family doubts the death of Roberto Calvi, the president of Ambrosio, Banco Ambrosiana, was suicide. The Wall Street Journal, this is the 19th of August. The family of Roberto Calvi, the late president of the Banco Ambrosiana, believe that the father was murdered. The son and daughter say they believe the father was murdered. They refer to him as God's banker. And this article says Mr. Calvi was traveling without his usual entourage of 11 bodyguards. I've mentioned to you before that he always had 11 bodyguards and thought that he would be murdered, and that he was told a friend of his was tortured, and that that would be more reason to have more bodyguards, not be without them. But this article says the problem that went on, this is according to Carlo Calvi, the son of the man that was murdered. Carlo said that the banker, his father's banking relationship was strictly business, his relationship. And then it became politicized with the Vatican, because instead of just being money, Calvi said, is Roberto Calvi had been on the verge of completing an arrangement. These are his words. That completing arrangement that would have reduced the Vatican Bank's holdings in Banco Ambrosiano and its debt to Banco Ambrosiano. That's that huge debt of $1.4 billion, not only in Panama, but there's money, the $400 million in Luxembourg. There was an arrangement being made that would have reduced the bank's holdings in Ambrosiano and reduced the debt. This debt, according to the arrangement, would have been assumed by a well-financed Catholic, Roman Catholic lay organization called Opus Dei, or Dei, D-E-I, based in Spain. Now, it was formed in Madrid, but its base is really in Rome right now. Based in Spain, this politically and religiously conservative group has among its members many of Europe's top financial leaders. The size of the Vatican debt, with Ambrosiano in dispute, it's not known. The Vatican Bank reportedly borrowed $250 million outright, but if some of the missing $1.4 billion was funneled through Panama and Panamanian companies and on to Vatican banks, as alleged by the son of Roberto Calvi, the debt is considerably larger. Carlo Calvi said the arrangement was controversial within the Vatican because it would have mixed politics with finance, presumably because the Opus Dei would have sought clout with the Vatican in return for assuming the debt, which means that the Vatican took on tremendous investments and tangled their money, like the Nugent hand, into hundreds of millions of dollars of debt, writing letters for people to invest into banks that they would stand by and said they won't. And the Opus Dei, which is basically a lay organization of the international fascist group, the group that I've talked about for years, the Otto Skorzeny, Hallmar Schacht, Adolf Hitler, Mussolini entourage, the business people that were formed in Madrid after the Soviet Union came into power. They realized that the chance of a godless country at one after another become socialist, they wouldn't have a role and they wouldn't have a monopoly on money and territory, such as 14 families ruling El Salvador, or one family, Somozas, in Nicaragua, or four or five in Guatemala, and down in Panama, and then down to Uruguay, Paraguay, Chile, Argentina, Brazil, Bolivia, you name it. What they want is feudalism in the hands of a few, slave labor for the others with no middle class. Now, what you're getting today is a control of the Opus Dei, helping to bankrupt this huge mass of money everywhere. And Opus Dei was saying, we will assume your debts, Mr. Pope, who was a protege of the Opus Dei before he was ever sent to Rome, this Pope Paul II, while he was working at Auschwitz for IG Farben during World War II. He was sympathetic to the Opus Dei. This was the ultimate anti-communism. The answer to socialism is the Middle Ages, the feudal Middle Ages. I mentioned that at MPC when I was there, speaking with people who were interested in Kazoo and understanding, I said, the system is being made safe for feudalism. Now, in May 1981, a year and several months ago, when the Pope was shot, I did a broadcast on five motives. Who would be behind shooting the Pope? Now, in spite of what Claire Sterling says for the Reader's Digest, that is pure BS, and I will meet her any time or any place and debate Mohammed Ajah and the co-workers that worked with the assassination attempt on the Pope. Behind them, I gave five reasons or questions a week after the Pope was shot, or 2 days after. Would it be the Muslims versus the Christian war? No, not at all. He was sympathetic to the PLO, even though Ajah had been in Beirut, Lebanon, training. Is it the far-right fascist, more fascist military governments, possibly linked to somewhere else? And then I had the interference of the Turkish politics and the Vatican links to NATO and Hague and that complicated can of worms. But the most important group was that Opus Dei that I listed as more fascist than most military governments that exist today. Now, if you want background on Opus Dei, and incidentally, they're mentioned when you talk about the commodity market missing and hundreds of millions or billions floating. The Opus Dei worked with the Bunge Corporation when the market dropped the day that John Kennedy was murdered, and written in the book, Were We Controlled?, where several billion in stocks went down to Argentina to them as a result of their foreknowledge that John Kennedy was going to be murdered because Clay Shaw in New Orleans at the International Trade Mart worked with them and the people from Opus Dei. If you want to do homework on this subject, because we only have about 1 minute now, the New York Times has an article. The San Francisco Chronicle also had one, but parts of it were cut out. February the 14th, 1982, it's called Showdown for the Jesuits. And the Opus Dei held a meeting in Italy and told the Jesuits for the first time in 400 years that they couldn't choose their own leader, that Opus Dei would control all the Jesuits. Many of you think the Jesuits are conservative. The Opus Dei wants control of the Jesuits. New York Times, February the 14th, 1982, by Paul Hoffman, or San Francisco Chronicle, February the 21st, 1982. Some sections were let out. Now, if you want to know who is causing this pain and some of the problems, read those two articles in the Wall Street Journal on the Italian banking scandal and the interconnections of Panama, the power struggle in the Vatican, and that is the international fascist group that are pressuring the Pope. He isn't even far right enough for them. And read your three articles on Nguyen, and then we'll discuss those next week and analyze them, because there's a lot of information that will affect us in the future. It's affected us in the past. And now I'm very thrilled because the papers, the very conservative papers, such as the Wall Street Journal, are finally carrying it. And that's something after screaming about it for 2 years. So you do your homework and keep studying those papers, and I'll be back with you next week. This is Mae Brussel in Kazoo, K-A-Z-U.